Welcome to our sermon series, Faith Over Fear. Today, we dive into the scriptures to see how we can be empowered to live by faith.
We've been journeying through the book of 1 Timothy over the last number of weeks. We had a break last weekend as we just were celebrating what God has done here at Watoto Church, understanding our vision and just looking back, celebrating, but also looking forward. And with anticipation and expectation, but also with clarity, the things that God would like us to do as a church family. And I want to encourage you just to go to our YouTube channel, find that message on the vision, and as a church member, internalize it, share it with other members of the church, and together let's run after this vision that God has called us to. Prior to that, we had gone through three chapters of 1 Timothy. We're taking time to study this book. It's a letter by Paul to his son in the faith, Timothy. Timothy was now stepping up to lead the church in Ephesus. And so Paul writes to Timothy as a young pastor, as a young leader. And there is so much truth that he wants to share with him. And this truth is what's going to help him be successful as a pastor as he carries the ministry in the city of Ephesus, a diverse city where there was the worship of many gods. It was a very wealthy city. And so fame and fortune and all forms of spiritual activity happened in this city. And Paul, through one of his missionary journeys, stopped by, preached the gospel, met some of the believers, planted a church, and now he's left Timothy to be in charge. And those are the last 3 weeks that we've been going through, understanding what Paul writes to Timothy and what that means for us today. And so in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul tells Timothy to shut down the false teachers. Shut down the false teachers, because false teaching leads to false believing. And what we believe affects how we live. In the end, when you believe false teaching and you begin to live by it, it will destroy you both spiritually and physically. Therefore, it matters what you believe. And what Paul was encouraging Timothy to preach is the true gospel. The gospel about Jesus Christ, who came, died on a cross, who is sufficient for salvation. When we put our faith in him, our lives are transformed. The Bible says we are born again. We are saved. The old is gone. The new has come. And Paul uses his own life story as an example of how the true gospel changes people's lives. And in that day, there were false teachers that are preaching another gospel, saying Jesus is not enough for salvation. There's other things you need to do to be truly saved. And they're preaching different doctrines that affected the way people were living. And so Paul charges Timothy, hey, will you contend against this false gospel and teach the true gospel? 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul advises Timothy on matters of public worship. What happens when we get together? The whole idea is that there would be order when the people gathered. We serve a God of order, and he wants order even when we meet. Why? At the end of the day, it's about the preaching of the gospel. God does not want anything to get in the way of preaching the gospel. Even the way we order our services is so that at the end of the day, the work of God in your life will be accomplished. We don't want to get in the way of the gospel, but we also don't want you to get in the way of the gospel, so we do things in a way that is orderly, as the Bible says. So he talked about issues of prayer, talked about issues of dressing, talked about issues of teaching. All these are so that nothing can stand in the way of the gospel. Then in chapter 3, encouraged Timothy that the church is the pillar of truth. And Paul addresses the issue of leadership in the church. He says if the church is going to be the pillar of truth, then the men that have to preach the gospel, the women that have to preach the gospel, must be men and women of godly character. They must be men and women of godly character, because listen, the message of the gospel of Jesus is at stake through the character of the messenger of the gospel. Your character and my character matters. You may not stand on a pulpit as I do, but in your family, at your place of work, in your school, in your community, people are watching you. You might preach the gospel, but if you do not live out godly character, you will hinder the preaching of the gospel. So it is important that you and I are men and women of godly character, submitted to the Holy Spirit and allowing Him. Why? When we do that, we become the pillar of truth in our community. We become the people that help people stay away from the lie, believe the truth, live by the truth that not only transforms us, it transforms those around us. So Paul is passionate about the preaching of the gospel. He's encouraging Timothy, hey, take these lessons to heart so that nothing will get in the way of the preaching of God's word. So we're going to go on to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to encourage you to pull out your Bibles and let's study God's word together. So Paul, writing to Timothy, says, now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. I want you to take note of that. Some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. And all those who love pork say, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Listen to these last words. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So again, Paul is writing to Timothy. He's helping him understand, listen, as you contend for the gospel in the city of Ephesus, here are a couple of things I want you to pay attention to. And today there's really two big ideas that I want to pass on to you from 1 Timothy chapter 4. And listen, friends, I would like you to write these things down and commit them to memory. Study them. And let God do in your work a life that is going to enhance the preaching of the gospel and not hinder it. The first lesson we take away from 1 Timothy chapter 4 is that we are to be faithful to teaching the true gospel. We're to be faithful to teaching the true gospel. Now, that seems very simplistic, but actually it's not as simple as it seems. For the first three chapters, Paul keeps reminding Timothy, listen, preach the true gospel, preach the true gospel, preach the true gospel. And friends, I'll encourage you today, like Paul writing to Timothy, I want to encourage you, preach the true gospel. In the city of Kampala today, there is a battle for the true gospel to be preached. For the true gospel to be preached. I wonder, are you among those who are preaching the true gospel? Are you among those who are preaching a false gospel? In fact, it can't be a false gospel, because the gospel is the message about Christ. So it's a false message. And I love what Paul says to Timothy. He says, now the Spirit expressly says, in other words, in no uncertain terms, the Spirit of the living God says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Anything preached that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ is a message that comes straight from the pit of hell. And it comes by the enabling of deceiving spirits and demons. And this is something that we need to understand, Watoto Church. Satan is behind the preaching of a false gospel. Do not be moved by the signs and the wonders that you see. Moses showed up in Pharaoh's palace, threw down his stick, and it became a snake. The very next second, Pharaoh's magicians threw down their sticks and they became a snake as well. Do not be fooled by what you see. It is demons and deceiving spirits that are behind a preaching of a message other than Christ. And it might sound like, but it may not be, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have to be able to call a spade a spade. We have this cult of jumping from fellowship to fellowship to fellowship to fellowship, saying we are feeding and growing deeper. You might just be seated under a demonic spirit. And so I want to encourage you, friends. Man, this issue is so serious. And the Spirit of God said in these last days, people will devote themselves, in other words, give themselves over to deceitful spirits, a lying spirit that twists the truth of God's word. Remember, the plan of Satan has always been to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I begin to tell you, listen, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Your nature is changing. You are now a God. Are you a God? Are you a God? But you might believe this. And begin walking around telling people because we are gods, we don't fall sick. And as you're preaching it, you're coughing. Preaching a wrong version of the grace of God. Teaching prophecy not as the word of God teaches it. These are demonic spirits, the Bible says. Some of us are too high in the spirit that you don't realize that the devil has you like this. Those people are going to show up in heaven saying, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because they operated by a demonic spirit. You don't want to be part of that. Listen, this is critical. This is about your soul and the destiny of your life. And he helps Timothy to understand what this looks like. He says some of the things they preach, these are some of the things. They forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving. And this is about preaching a form of piety, holiness. You want to be seen as one who is holy. So he said, I don't eat meat. What has meat got to do with your holiness? You're trying to show everybody how holy you are. I've decided not to get married just to make sure that I'm devoted to Jesus. Who told you that those who are married can't be devoted to Jesus? And they try to preach this form of holiness. Oh, I'm just separating myself for Jesus. It's a holiness that was on the outside. And Jesus rebuked the Pharisees who taught this. And he said, you are whitewashed tombs. In other words, you're clean on the outside, but on the inside you host death. He says they come to you and they teach you to abstain from foods and do not get married. It's a show of holiness on the outside. But we know that true holiness starts when you commit your life to Jesus Christ and His blood washes away your sin, and daily Holy Spirit is renewing you and teaching you how to live like Jesus Christ. True holiness is the work of Holy Spirit on the inside of you that comes to the outside. That's why God does not look on the outside. He looks on the inside. And God rebuked Peter. One day in Acts chapter 10, he goes up to a roof. He wants to pray and he goes into a trance. This is Peter, the head of the church, after Peter had left. He'd left Peter in charge to lead. He still had some biases he was dealing with as a Jew. And God took him up on a roof and a sheet fell from heaven. There's a number of foods on the sheet. And God said, come on, kill, eat. Peter says, God, I cannot eat what is unclean. God says, do not call unclean what God has not called unclean. Yes, we know God was talking about the Gentiles. They too can receive the gospel. They can be saved. But God was also addressing a personal issue with Peter. Listen, you can sit with the Gentiles and you can eat the food that they eat because it is cleansed with prayer and thanksgiving by God. And some of us walk around with this sense of holiness. Listen, the Bible says if people praise you for your holiness on the outside, you received your reward in full. There's no reward for you in heaven. So Jesus said, don't pray in the streets loudly so that everyone can hear you. Rather, go to a secret place where only you and God can meet. So when it comes to the true gospel, it's about your personal relationship with God. And walking before God in all holiness, in all godliness, not as a performance, but out of a deep reverence for God. So don't feel guilty for not standing on the street and preaching. There is a place for it. But don't feel guilty for not standing on the street and not preaching. Rather, go and knock at the door of your neighbor. Say, come, I have a cup of tea with you. I invite you to my house, come and have a cup of tea. And there, share the gospel. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them how He can change their lives. This is, we're not performing, we're not on a stage. Come on, the gospel of Jesus changes our lives. And with humility, begin to reach out to others, not so that we can be seen, but so that they can connect with the one who needs to be seen. His name is Jesus. And so Paul encourages Timothy, reject the false gospel. Now, reject does not only mean speak against it. Yes, it is important for people to know what you're against, but it's also very important for people to know what you are for. So rejecting the false gospel means call it out. Say, that is not what the Bible says. That is not the word of God. That is not the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Call it out. Do not be silent, but in the very same breath, teach the truth of the word of God. That is what rejecting means. Call out the wrong teaching. Teach the truth of the word of God. That's why in verse 4 to 7, if you go back, it says, for everything created by God is good and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. And then he tells him in verse 6, if you put these things before the brothers, you'll be a good servant of Christ Jesus. A good servant of Christ Jesus not only fights wrong teaching, they teach the truth. So we need to be fully aware of these workers of iniquity, these teachers of false doctrine that operate by a demonic spirit. And we shouldn't get caught up in these things, myths, the useless conversations of whether you're a god or not. Useless. Instead, let's be consistent in the reading of the Word of God and encourage one another and help one another to understand the truth of the Word of God. That's why not being in cell is not good for you. Because you're out on your own and the devil is going to find you. Why don't you belong to a family of believers, a small group of just 10 people who get into the Word of God and study it and understand it? Build yourself up. Encourage one another. So Paul writes to Timothy and says in verse 13, so until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation or preaching, and to teaching. Very important. Hey, do you have a habit of reading God's Word? Do you have a habit of listening to sound teaching from the Word of God? Or are you jumping from place to place looking for deeper, deeper, papa, deeper, papa, deeper, papa, deeper, papa, deeper, papa? The challenge with always going deeper is that you're falling into a bottomless pit. You will never come back. Listen, you cannot tell that a line is crooked if you do not place it against a straight ruler. In the same way, you cannot know what is false if you do not compare it to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about the believers in Antioch. It says, as Paul preached the gospel, they checked the scriptures. Are you checking the scripture right now? Or have you opened Facebook and WhatsApp? Turn to your neighbor's phone. Don't lock it. Don't lock it. What's your neighbor looking at? Are they getting the latest results of what happened between Egypt and South Africa? Are they more aware of what happened in the Women's World Cup yesterday than of what Paul is telling Timothy? So number one is to be faithful to the teaching of the true gospel. Listen, friends, I want to encourage you. Will you be so soaked in the Word of God and become someone who contends the false gospel? Be a teacher of God's Word. Correct, rebuke, encourage until the true gospel is bound in the hearts of men. Finally, tells him, be faithful to live out the true gospel. Live it out. Don't just teach it. Because you know, some people, head knowledge, they're brilliant. They know lots of things. They know how to quote scriptures. They can quote 4 scriptures right now on faith. Now, right now. But as soon as someone brings a bill, they call for a loan. They don't pray. It's living out the true gospel. So Paul is telling Timothy, as we contend, one of the ways to stand up against false doctrine is to live out the principles of the gospel in your life every day. Be consistent in these things. And this is so important because the lifestyles of false teachers were there for all to see. They go after money. They love targeting women. They are flamboyant. They draw attention not to Jesus but to themselves. They're very divisive. They're very proud in their language. They talk about the people who matter, as if the rest of you don't matter. They talk about being in a realm. There is pride. They're very divisive. They love to target the people who are already in the church. They usually don't go for people who are not born again. They don't preach the gospel. They twist it. There's a season at the university, when a false message spread through the students. I mean, it spread so much, students were believing by it to the point that students began writing exams in tongues. Because when you're writing in tongues, you're writing perfection. So you were a law student and they say, compare this case to this case. You begin, Shatre Kalebo Rekinda Zeklobande Zikele Zimaka Pugume. And then the lecturer comes to mark the papers and opens the papers. And there's 4 pages of Ziga, Zogo, Buga, Gega. He said, what's her? I've spent 3 months teaching these students only to provide for me Zika, Ba, Go, Gi, Ge, Go, Ge. Because when you're writing in tongues, you're writing perfection. You see how a false gospel can affect the way you live. Now imagine getting retakes. Imagine as a parent, as a family member, you've been praying for the success, for your child to be successful in their exams. You probably even took off a day to fast and say, God, will you help them? May they not fear anything. May they have peace in their hearts as they study, and may they excel in their examinations. And then you come back and your child has a retake of an entire semester. Imagine the pain and the disappointment. And the person who is preaching that gospel doesn't pay any school fees. They want to disorganize your family, but they're outdoing whatever they do. It affects how we live. And so Paul is telling Timothy, I want you to watch how you live, so that people will see what you preach is how you live. And that is a big contention for the gospel. Right here in Kampala today, there is chaos. Because how people live is not what they preach. May God help us. So he tells him in verse 7, train yourself for godliness. Godliness is not automatic to us. We are sinful in nature. And so he compares it to bodily training. And he says, listen, bodily training is of some value. But godliness is of value in every way. And he says, not just now, but for the life to come. In other words, when you begin to live a godly life, not only are you blessed now, but blessed in the time to come. You become a solid witness for Jesus. The Bible says that when they came against Daniel, in so many ways, they couldn't find any corruption in him. Can that be said of you? Live out the gospel. We know how to speak. We know how to imitate preachers. But what is your lifestyle? So he tells him, train yourself in godliness, but he tells him, be exemplary in your lifestyle. Don't you never tell him, be an example. Look at them in the black spot of the eye, tell him, be an example. Why? He tells him in verse 12, let no one despise you for your youth. Because they lived in a Greek culture where those who were younger were seen not to know. They had no experience. And now as a young pastor coming up in that culture, by the way, Timothy was around 30 years old. He was young. In Greek culture, that's young. So you're not respected. Paul says, listen, don't try to contend for respect. Rather be an example. That is how you win respect. You know, if people are going to really respect the message and the gospel that we preach, and our Master and Savior Jesus Christ, our lifestyle is going to help that process. So he tells him to be an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. In speech, because these false teachers had a very divisive language and a very sharp tongue, and some of us are like that, verbal artillery. We have words that cut people to the core. Our language does not honor Jesus. In the same breath, you speak a certain language. In the same breath, you proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior. People look at you and wonder, truly, is this a believer? So he says in speech. But he also tells him in conduct. The way you behave. Respect those around you. Remember, he talked to him about respecting elders. We're going to see that next week in 1 Timothy chapter 5. It says the way you behave is so important in demonstrating that you are a messenger of the true gospel. Because he's a young man. He also tells them in love. In other words, don't be driven by anger and competition, but be compelled by the love of God to preach the gospel and to reach people. Love is attractive. Says, be a man of love. But says, in faith. Why faith? Because listen, not only do we receive salvation by faith, every day in salvation is a day of faith. So it says, be a man of faith. In the true faith, in the true gospel, in the one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're going to find difficulties as you lead this church. Be my man of faith. Tells impurity. Not purity by abstaining from food and marriage, but purity surrendering to the Holy Spirit and allowing him to work in you the fruit of the Spirit so that it's on display for all to see. That's why he tells him, listen, it's important that you do this so that everyone can see your progress. Closes by telling him, exercise your spiritual gift. God has blessed us not only with natural gifts, but with spiritual gifts. And these are given to us by Holy Spirit to whom he wills. And they are given so that the gospel can be demonstrated. But the gifts of the Spirit are many. They are many. They are spiritual gifts like administration. Do you know when someone cannot find any corruption with the way you handle money, you are preaching the gospel? I wonder. When someone looks at you, do they see the gospel? He closes by telling him, persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. There's lots of people that are walking around as friends and they're on their way to hell. Who is going to tell them the truth about Jesus? Who's going to show them what it truly means to live for Jesus? So that one day in heaven they'll be able to hear these beautiful words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's rest. This is the truth of God's word. Let's be preachers of the truth of God's word with our words and with the way we live. When we do this, I believe the preachers of the false gospel, those who are enabled by demon spirits, will be brought down in Jesus' name, and the banner of the name of Jesus will be lifted high in the city of Kampala and the nation of Uganda in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.
Thank you for listening. I hope this sets you up to choose well and excel in life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scripture and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.